This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I fought the law and the law won.
I ignored the law and the law won. I abided the law and the law won.
Good morning, Night Vale. Hey, everybody. Hal Lublin checking in with you on the fives and the tens.
And Tiffany Sanders checking in with you for this morning coffee.
And it's Meg Bashpener checking in with you on this 4:20 afternoon. On the fours and the 20s. It's not. It's 10:21 p.m. where I am in the world. But we are here. We've gathered here today to recap an episode of Welcome to Night Vale, as this is a Welcome to Night Vale recap podcast that we do because we enjoy each other and we enjoy all of you. Right now, it is Wednesday, February 3rd in our world. And the groundhog didn't see his shadow.
Right.
What we get 6 more weeks of winter. I wonder to anyone listening outside of the U.S., what they think about us and groundhogs. Probably not at all. But we have this really weird tradition in the U.S. Maybe Hal can speak to it more.
Do they even know?
Sure. Every year, the people... I think the Bill Murray movie probably gave it a little bit more international exposure.
Okay. People are fans. I love that movie.
Love that film.
It's a good one. Every February 2nd, the people of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, the Groundhog Club specifically, holds a giant event where they bring Punxsutawney Phil, whichever version. I assume groundhogs live for like 5 years, so there have been several Punxsutawney's Phil at this point. And the groundhog comes out, emerges, and if the groundhog sees its shadow and is frightened and goes back into its hidey hole, that means 6 more weeks of winter. If it's not frightened, then we get an early spring. And that is the idea. But really, it's a bunch of old white men holding up a rodent and then deciding how cold it's going to be. Yep. Just like you always knew.
And they wear like a top hat. It always reminds me of that scene from Wizard of Oz where the mayor comes out and he's like...
The lollipop guild?
Like, we take to you most certainly.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's most certainly...
Dead. Oh, yeah, they pronounce that's the medical examinator.
Medically?
And there's sperm everywhere. Get a black light. We represent the crime scene investigators. Crime scene investigators. The crime scene investigators.
CSI. Oz.
Somebody needs to make a thing where the...
Someone will, I'm sure.
Where they declare them dead, and then they say a line and put on the sunglasses, and then you get the... Wah! Like, I want to see one of the munchkins pull a Caruso is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a CSI.
I'll basically say that life is long and there's a CSI for every seat.
There is.
That's right. This episode actually is about law enforcement. This is episode 80, A New Sheriff in Town. This is the original episode description. There's a new sheriff in Night Vale, and they want changes. Plus, Cecil runs into a former intern, the court develops some AI dragons, and a message about getting into the holiday spirit. This is the final episode of the Year of Our Lord 2015. Is that correct?
It sure is.
Yeah.
That was it. This is it. We've made it through 2015 already. We're catching up. Slowly but surely, we're catching up with the actual Night Vale candidate. It's only a few more years, and then we'll be real time.
Well, can I just say, while this was in 2015, for me, the 2021 sentiment is strong because A-cab, baby.
A-cab.
A-cab. Mm-hmm. Sheriff Sam comes into the picture, which is always very exciting. We're like excited, a new sheriff. But it was all very, not suspect, but it was like quick and like nobody really knew like by which the process that Sam came into power. It's just like the other one was gone. And Sam has decided not to wear the balaclava, has their own sort of situation going on. But they are big mad at Desert Bluffs. And I feel like they're trying to incite some sort of insurrection sort of thing.
For sure.
Right?
There's definitely some like Dana Cardinal, you're not our mayor. Like,
right?
You're not doing right by us.
Like, wild. There's
try to let, yeah, it's very much these current times. Although it was written about a fictional desert town where every conspiracy theory is true in 2015. We just live there now.
Right. We all live in Nightvale.
Yes. There's a flavor of things that we get all the time that just are certainly more pronounced now, the police being one of them, and then the battle over budget allocation. I feel like the last 4 years have been a huge civics lesson for a lot of people, myself included, learning a lot more about how the government functions and then specifically how budgets are created and spent than we ever knew before. So it definitely, it's sort of that thing of when you study dinosaurs in school for the first time and then you notice dinosaur stuff everywhere and you feel like the entire world is catered to whatever you're learning in that moment because you're finally aware of it. So now you're tuned in and you're seeing it more in different places. I think we're more tuned in to the issues with policing and the need to defund, and also reform and fix our law enforcement system, and also how money gets spent and what happens when it goes places you don't think it should go. Because those things are working in concert here, but they also, like, these are things that have been happening all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the world of Nightvale, especially the governmental stuff, is like kind of a government dysfunction satire. So it's like all turned to 11. But now we live in 11. And I don't know if it's, I don't think it's because we've all been forced to learn more about how our government works. I think that I will say it's because we're in a ratcheted up time. And maybe it was, it was intentional that we didn't really learn so much about how the government actually functioned before now, because if we had known how goddamn stupid it was set up and how fragile it was, we probably wouldn't have got along with it for so long. But here we are.
Yeah. But I think as a society, we go through these waves of complacency and upheaval, and we'll make it through it. We just have to buckle down and not forget the next time that we have feelings about the way we're treated by our government and by the people that we employ to try and keep us safe. Speaking of people that we employ, Melanie Pennington, which is very exciting because that's who created like the number station robot computer. Is it computer? Yes. Who's played by Molly Quinn. I don't remember her being mentioned before this. Do you remember?
Like her existing on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's been on the show.
In the episodes? Not in the live show?
Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes I feel like a goldfish. It's like I swim around and I was like, oh, track? This is new.
Oh, can we talk about this? I have trouble remembering. I have trouble.
Yeah.
I'm just glad somebody else said it.
Yeah.
I feel like there was going to be one time where I was like,
no.
I have trouble remembering every single person, and I could maybe get there with a lot of them, but it is a lot to keep track of, and it's tough.
It is, because there are so many characters that are smaller that you're like, oh, right, I really like that one, but you can't remember if they came from a live show that they were just mentioned in one of the books, or if they came earlier in the episodes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we're 80 episodes in at this point. It's a lot of content. It's a lot of characters. I had that thought today, too, actually, because Maureen comes back. And I'm like, where did we leave Maureen? And that, because we have the experience also of both sides of it kind of coming together on itself. Like, we're re-listening to all these early episodes, but also all of the other episodes exist out in the future. And it's like, yeah, I know that, like, eventually Maureen and Michelle end up in a thing, but we're still far away from that. But, like, where did we actually leave Maureen? Like, we're...
The last time, we saw her in the...
So it's, it's hard to have any sense of who exists where in time. But, yeah, we've had Melanie before.
Okay.
Yeah, we had her, I think it was like a, maybe 2014 was the Number Station episode that we had the premiere of Melanie in, I think. But again, we're backwards and forwards in time.
Well, because, I mean, Faye and Melanie, while voiced by the same person, are not the same person.
Well.
Right? Or are they?
Well, they sort of are.
Wait, you're fucking me up right now. Stop. Really? Am I, like, really dumb? Or is it, like, part of her conscience?
It's, like, left a little ambiguous. About whether Faye actually exists or not.
Right.
Like, with any sort of, sentience. Or if she's just a computer program.
Who loves Katy Perry.
I just thought it was a fun thing to be like, oh, wow, it's done by the same voice actor, you know, that she's both Melanie and who's the programmer, and then Faye is the computer program. So, like, yeah, people design stuff off of themselves all the time. So I just thought it was like, oh, kind of Ghost in the Machine style. This is blowing my tiny mind. Okay, I got to move on from this. Otherwise, I'm going to, like, literally spiral down a rabbit hole. But other characters that came back in this that... But this character I remember and I know is one of your favorite characters, Meg. Megan fucking Wallaby.
She's at work, too. They're, like...
I love you, Meg.
Yeah.
Megan. Designing a jury, which I love. I feel like all juries should be AI.
That'd be cool.
Although it has the potential for things to go horribly wrong, but also has the potential for things to go horribly right, because you can remove all sorts of biases and all that stuff and, like, kind of just program them to interpret the law. But you get that, it's kind of tough because there's so much gray area and dysfunction in our laws and legal system that, like, it kind of requires a fallible human brain to... fuck up even worse. But yeah, I like the idea of maybe an AI jury just to try it out. Let's just see.
Yeah.
Like maybe some non-binding stuff. Just test it out and see if it works. But I feel like...
It could be a way to make it fair. At least this comes out of trying to create a fair trial for a five-headed dragon.
Right.
Which there are no others. So you got to just create them. I want to jump for a second, if I may. Because everybody knows the real purpose of this podcast is for us to talk about food.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a very brief mention of Pfeffernusse cookies. Mm. Now, for those of you who are unaware, I'm going to give you the listing from one of the greatest sites on the World Wide Web, which is the Vermont Country Store's official website.
These soft spice
cookies. Yeah, they're, oh my God, it's so good. It's where I got my Snoopy sheets. That's true. These soft spice cookies are baked with a traditional recipe in Germany just for you. Now, this is sold as a beloved cookie from Germany. Soft spice cookies with a tender sugar glaze. Mm. Made in Germany. Currently sold out. These are also called snowballs, but here's what's in them.
Okay.
These festive cookies with the funny name, pronounced Pfeffernusse, are soft with a cake-like texture and spiced with a gingerbread spice blend that may include cinnamon, clove, allspice, coriander, cardamom, ginger, star anise, don't tell me it's pronounced any other way, mace, nutmeg, and a touch of white pepper.
Ooh.
I'm going to repeat the ones that stood out to me in there.
Okay.
White pepper, mace, and coriander. Don't put cilantros in my cookies and tell me it's raining.
But I think with all those other flavors, it creates a probably a really like fresh spice sort of. Mm-hmm. And as coriander denotes the seed and not the leaf. So that flavor is, while similar, is different. It's a little nuttier, I think.
I think it's nutty, too.
It's not as... but mace, isn't that something... It has another name.
That you use... Oh, yeah. Tear gas.
No, it's not
pepper
that.
Spray.
It's a warm pepper spice. Spray. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't get it in your eyes while you're cooking.
But yeah,
do you remember?
When, it's a bunch of warm spices.
It's a lot of warm spice. It's a very like German spice cake, spice cookie kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Mace is a yellowish brown spice that is derived from the dried, lacy coating of the nutmeg seed. So it's basically
it's
like
not, it's just nutmeg.
It's just more nut.
It's just nutmeg.
Just more nut.
Yeah. Just a little nutmeg. Yeah. This is a very spicy. This is a one spicy cookie ball.
That sounds lovely. It makes me think of Pepperkakor, the Swedish.
What?
It's like a little gingerbready thin cookie that's like spice. It's like a spice cookie, and you usually eat it with like glögg. Or I live in a Swedish neighborhood, so it's like always around during the holidays.
What's glögg?
It's a mulled wine beverage that is usually also made with some sort of grain alcohol.
Stay warm out there.
Okay.
That's right.
Sure.
You live in Chicago, bitch. Stay warm. You live in Sweden. You live in a fjord. Stay warm. Drink. Let your little nose turn red.
Sweden East.
Right. Well, I love that. I love that we talked about that because it did bring up warm, like holiday feelings for me. I love a nice spiced cookie for a holiday.
Sure.
Can we just go back for a second? You jumped forward. You take two steps forward. I'm gonna take two steps back.
Okay, MC Scat Cat, go ahead.
Because opposites attract. In fiction, anyways. So we were talking about AI, right? Did anybody else think that Troy Walsh is perhaps a clown?
Oh, for
Which
sure.
Which one?
Right? Right? No, because they're
both... Oh, you mean both? They're both clones?
Troy Walsh. Both of them named Troy Walsh. They have the exact same... I mean, they wouldn't have made note of, like, how they have the same haircut and, like, all that same stuff. It's like, you're a clone, girl.
And he's both the prosecution and the defense.
Yeah.
Well, and wouldn't that be fun? Because, okay, so then you have an AI jury, and you have two clones who know the law equally. So they're like, you're not going to get an advantage that way. So really, you might get the most, and this is Night Vale's first trial, right?
It's the trial of the century.
Literally.
Yeah.
So.
They're really trying.
Why not have it done in the most impartial way? By robots.
I'm here for it. I don't know. I think it's worth a shot. Can't get any worse than it already is, right?
Well, if any of us ever get called up, like, or got arrested or something, or trying to get convicted of something, I will request a jury of AI peers and robot prosecutor and defense. Be like, otherwise, I don't think it counts.
That should be at least an option.
Hashtag justice for Symphony. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Your Honor, this is not a fair trial. There is nary a robot, nor is there a single clone or AI. Therefore, I will allow you to throw this out, and I'll be on my way.
Goodbye. Zoom.
Bye. Jump out the window. Actually, just slowly open the window and then slide out of it.
Just roll out. You're like, see ya, jerks. So, of course, you mentioned Maureen comes back into the picture. And I think she's justified in asking Cecil for those damn credits. And I said, give Maureen her credits.
Yep.
Cecil is being unreasonable, I think. He thinks he's just... He's like, well, you didn't do this, or you kept phasing in and out of whatever. And I'm like, yeah, because you sent her to, oh my God. He's
the dog park.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just did. And then he won't give her the credit. Give her the damn credits.
Yeah.
Justice for hashtag justice for Maureen.
Just for, Your Honor, I don't see any AI
and no
around
robots.
This letter. And there are no robots. Therefore, she will receive her credit. Can we talk about the fact that this the entirety of Night Vale is set in an alternate universe? And we have proof now?
Because of the Hamilton?
Because the Hamilton musical is about our fourth president, Alexander Hamilton, who killed Aaron Burr. I think that's a context clue, people. I'm on board with the alternate reality. There were a lot of things before that seemed hinky. Now I know this is a different plane of existence. And this is the proof.
It wasn't the angels.
Do we agree?
Coming down.
No.
Right.
No,
okay.
That could happen here.
That could happen
I think it's the Hamilton being different. That's the real indicator.
Yep.
I just wrote LOL
and this is
Hamilton.
Mania.
Yeah, this is when people were going bananas for Hamilton and when I was actively opposed to it.
Because it was cool.
Yeah, I'm very much that person. When people were going crazy over Harry Potter, I'm like, fuck Harry Potter. I'm like, you guys are dumb. Why are you standing in line? What the fuck? And then, of course, like 3 years later, I'm like, it's like ironic that I'm reading it. And now I'm like, I'm a Slytherin.
Yeah, you're full on.
See, I'm
having
all the
a pillow made with my Patronus on it.
Yeah, I understand the influence of the impulse when something's like super popular and super try hard. You're just like, yeah. I don't need to be a part of that.
And also tickets were, I mean, still are, I guess. I mean, well, nothing's happening now, baby. But, I mean, well, you could see it on Disney Plus though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you can. And I have. Oh, many times.
I was going to watch it with my brother because he is the only reason I saw Hamilton. He gave it to me as a birthday present. We were in
Chicago
our cups.
A production?
Yes, a Chicago performance. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I was like, no, now I get the hype. But I saw it. I actually saw Hamilton the day after the election in 2016.
Oh.
So wow. I was like, this is a place where I can openly weep about the future of our country. And boy, did I. It was literally November 4th, 2016, and Trump had been declared the president, and I had tickets to Hamilton that my brother had bought for me half, like, a month before for my birthday. Like, we were going to see it. I was so excited, and we were going to do it after the election. I thought, we were like, yeah, Hillary's going to be president.
Oh, God.
We're going to be able to celebrate this woman being a president, going to see this it's going to be wonderful. Musicals, we're going to have drinks. And I was just literally openly bawling in the audience. It was it was beautiful.
It's a beautiful show.
Not my crying, the show.
And now it's nominated for Golden Globes.
Yeah.
So this could be way Lin-Manuel Miranda EGOT. Gets his EGOT.
He's going to EGOT. Yeah. But it's actually funny. The day before, the day of Election Day, I was in London, and Joseph and I went to go see In the Heights. So the day of the election, Joseph and I saw Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical, and then the day after, you saw the other one, Wild Times.
Wild.
And then we all watched Moana, and then...
Yeah, and then our heads exploded. And that one episode of House that Lin-Manuel Miranda was on.
He's so cute. I love him. I don't care what anybody says. I think he's great.
Right? He's really lovely.
He's not been canceled,
say
right?
Bad things about him?
I don't think so, right? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. That's a weird way to say it. I don't care what anybody says.
I didn't know about that they kind of knew about the hype of Hamilton before it went to Broadway and it was at the Public and it was like talk of the town. And I didn't see it at the Public, but it was the Drama Desk Awards that year. They were nominated for like everything. And a show that Dylan wrote that I produced got nominated for a Drama Desk. So we were at the awards the same time as Lynn.
That was the sound one?
Yeah. It was the Human Symphony, as you know, yes. Named for you.
That's right.
we were at the Dramatesque Awards, and we were at the bar before waiting to go in, and I didn't clock him, but Dylan was like, that's Lin-Manuel at the bar. And Dylan like went up to him and said that he like said hi and was like, I, you know, really appreciate the show. And Lin was so nice to him, and they were like both nominees, and it was really sweet. And like, I didn't know that like he was at all of any of this stuff, but like Dylan, like he was really nice to Dylan, and I appreciated that.
Aww.
And then he won every award.
He's got them all.
Well, I invite Lin-Manuel. I don't know. I'm going to, sorry, I got to do it, but I'm going to invite Lin-Manuel Miranda onto our show. He doesn't have anything to do with Night Vale, but wouldn't that be fun? He just sounds like a nice man.
He was really nice to Dylan.
You know, my first exposure to him was when I met Travis McElroy, when we became friends, he invited me to a fantasy football league.
Fun.
And we all started a text chain with one another, like, hey, here's everybody's number so we could talk to one another. And one of the numbers is like, hey, I'm Lin. I'm like, all right. And then we had our draft. I was like, this guy wasn't even here for the draft. He has like five tight ends on his team. I'm going to cream him. And then his team beat mine. I was like, who is this guy? Lin-Manuel Miranda? And then I put it together. And then we followed one another on Twitter, and I tried to get him on We Got This at the height of Hamilton, because we were in New York, but he was too busy.
He was busy being a Broadway star.
But he was very polite. He was very nice, and his fantasy football team was very good for at least 1 week.
Did he talk good fantasy football smack? That's what I want to know.
There wasn't any. I mean, I don't think – I think he probably maybe looked at his lineup once to fix it, and that was it.
Oh, well, I think that's the most fun about fantasy football is talking smack.
Yes.
I'm admitting it. I've had a number of fantasy football teams. I am not a sport. You know this, Hal. I am not a sport. I generally am not a person who consumes sports, but there's something about fantasy football for me that is very exciting. I did fantasy football primarily before all the kneeling stuff happened, like before all the NFL showed their ass that they don't give a shit about their players for the most part.
Right.
Unfortunately. But the funnest part for me was talking smack to the other people, being like, I'm going to kick your butt.
Yep.
That's how
100%.
I'm going to kick your butt. Sending weird memes to each other. We should have a fantasy football team league, the three of us.
Okay.
It could just be fun. Go by ones that we think are cute.
Well,
try to pick the best looking team.
There's one more game left in the season. So.
Oh, right. The Super Bowl. That's the most important game of the season.
That's right.
I'm just going to be
the big game.
So pissed for when all the Super Bowl parties lead to more COVID infections. I'm just like so ready to be angry about it.
I forgot that football was even happening.
Because it fucking shouldn't be.
Did you see that video of the big snowball fight in like Central Park or something, wherever it was?
What?
Somebody shared it like, New York's back, and it's a bunch of people having a snowball fight out in the open, and I wanted to get a snowplow and plow them all into a big snowbank.
No.
And then put that snowbank into a deep freeze.
Yeah.
So that people don't get sick, because they're just going to get each other sick and then spread it out into the world. And it's not cute. And it's not funny. Stop it.
Stop it.
Please stop it.
Stop actively trying to kill me, please. Please.
Yes.
It's all very, like, the rationale behind it is all very confusing. Just as confusing as this traffic was for me. I didn't understand what was happening.
It's about bending.
No, I understand that, but like bending for what? Like, I don't.
Like Beckham?
I was like, okay, something about your foot. And then I don't know why. Anytime Cecil is like, don't move or like open your mouth or like something like that, I'm like automatically do my body just does it. He'll be like, don't move your foot. And I'm like, okay. Foot not moving. He's like, did you move your foot? And I was like, damn it, did I?
I have a conspiracy theory about Cecil for this episode.
Oh?
So how he's like talking about the holidays and talking about like how to be mindful of your essential workers and yada, yada, yada. And then he talks about his like government monitor and he like totally doxes her.
Oh, totally.
quote unquote, yep, accidentally. My conspiracy theory is that he did it on purpose to shake her tail, shake his tail.
Wow.
So he could do what?
Just looks so sweet. Who knows? What's he doing?
See, he came out there with those Pfeffernuss cookies and was like, hey, girl, what's your name? I'm not going to say it on the radio, I promise. Like, it's fine. You're so cute.
So he maced her and then doxed her.
Yep. She lost her job and he wants to get a beret. All Cecils are berets, ACAB.
ACAB. That's the best ACAB there is.
Yeah.
Can I also tell you, I didn't like when Sheriff Sam was talking about getting all the Desert Bluff citizens bright orange hats that say unwanted on it. It felt very like, it gave me an ook feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was very...
I thought it was pointed.
Yes. It was a nice attempt to reference something horrendous from history, yeah, but also like give it a goofy kind of slant to it. But if it once the idea gets in your head, it's hard to shake it out.
I know. It just really fucked with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one tell Marjorie Taylor Greene about that. All of a sudden she'll be, you know, it'll be the Congress's next important thing that has to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a bad person.
Confirmed.
And I try not to wish ill on people. But Marjorie, bitch. Leave my friends alone! Anyways.
Let's discuss the end of this episode. So we're at this press conference, this dance press conference, yes, which, frankly, great idea.
Love it.
Would love to see it. Would love to see Jen.
Little modern dance.
Love to see Jen, yeah, Psaki up there. Just. Oh. Yeah.
With that hair.
Yep.
With that red moving hair. Free. She'd be like.
But yeah. Yeah, I like that. And then things get weird. The strangers. The strangers are here.
Yeah.
And everyone freaks out. Although they weren't freaking out about the strangers before, but I think they just like kind of got penned in by them. And now they're freaked out about the strangers. So
I've been freaked out about the strangers since day one.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I guess when you live in a town where stuff is weird all the time, you're like, ah, okay, well, I guess I'll just deal with this weird thing until it actually becomes a problem. And then it does become a problem. And then it's too late at that point, though. Right?
And then the angels have to save you.
That's right.
But you can't even recognize the angels. See, that's the other messed up thing. You can't even recognize them and be like, thanks, boo. You're like, those aren't real, Cecil.
Nope. It's a thankless job to be an angel in Night Vale.
Really is.
I'd be mad.
Yeah, it's like, name your savior, you know? Like, it's important. But we get so afraid. We get so afraid to ask for what we need and to thank those who give it to us.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a very wise point, Meg.
You know? Just, I learned it from the angels, and I want to give them credit for that.
Up next, we hear from fans and friends of the podcast about their theories, comments, and questions. But first, a conversation about this episode's weather. This episode's weather was She Knows by John Fulbright. I thought this was very, like, folk gospel-y.
Americana.
Okay, yeah, no, I get that. No, I like that. I thought it was nice, and I thought it was, like, very reverent and, like, almost like it should be sung in an echoey, like, building, you know?
Like a chapel?
Yeah, like a church, something like that.
Or a hall, a large hall.
Yeah.
With the acoustics and whatnot.
I was just thinking of that Hozier song, Take Me to Church.
Yeah. Dude, this song first came out, I was like, is he British? He's not.
Okay.
he sounded like James Blunt a little bit to me.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. But yeah, I thought that the sound was really beautiful. And it was a really nice recording. I did a little digging about John Fulbright. He's a Grammy-nominated Americana singer-songwriter from Oklahoma. This is off his 2014 album, Songs. He had like a pretty big 2012, 2013, 2014, made a bunch of albums, and then did not make any more albums. However, he tours a ton.
Okay. So, not anymore.
Or did.
Well, yeah, not anymore. But he has dates for 21 if you want to give Ticketmaster some money and have them not refund you when they get canceled. But, but I'll probably be back out on the road again in 22 is my guess. So that's my guess about when we'll all be back out on the road. But who knows? Stay inside.
Fingers crossed, babykins. Fingers crossed.
Have your solo Super Bowl party. This episode will air after the Super Bowl. I hope you had a solo Super Bowl party and you did not share queso with anyone outside of your household.
I will be eating nachos in a robe alone. So.
Yeah, I'll be with my wife and not watching.
Good work. Good work.
Okay, Oklahoma. Yeah. O-K-L-A-M-H-O-A, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Okay. So speaking of queso, nachos, wives, let's step into the calzone.
Yum.
The fanzone calzone.
Let's do it.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
So we hear from Katie. Katie writes to us, Meg, Hal, and Symphony, thank you for keeping me entertained during the plague. I discovered Welcome to Night Vale during quarantine after a friend recommended it to me and have never once looked back. I think A New Sheriff in Town is an interesting episode because it takes place in the middle of the Hiram McDaniels arc and in the beginning of one of my favorite arcs, The Strangers. It doesn't exactly resolve anything, but it introduces an amazing character who gives the best press conferences, parentheses, sorry, Pamela, Sheriff Sam. I respect their strategy of interpretive dance and other art forms as a way of communicating information to the public, because I think I would do the same in that situation. I mean, why prepare a speech when you could just show off your painting or dance skills and leave the reporters to try to extrapolate your answer? My question, though, is what happened to the old sheriff? That's not exactly related to the episode, but I appreciate you recognizing the Pacific Northwest is the dankest place in the country. I find this very true, as I live in the Pacific Northwest, and it's pretty cool. The best part is the clouds. If someone complains about it being cloudy here, I want to ask them if they've ever actually looked at a cloud. They're amazing and ethereal. And even if none of the varieties where I live glow, parentheses, all hail.
All hail.
Speaking of the weather, I have a mind cannon that since the weather is diegetic? Great. It's a new word for me. In Night Vale, as mentioned by Steve Carlsberg when he references when he first met Cecil at his own wedding, no one at the radio station actually writes the weather report. Instead, Cecil summons music by saying the magic words to fill the air and time and or have a chance to get out of a sticky situation. All hail the mighty glow cloud, Katie.
All hail, Katie.
All hail.
Wow.
Thanks.
There's a lot to unpack here. But yes, the Pacific Northwest is dope, and we love it. Sheriff Sam does become a very cool character, but this first episode, they come in hot. You know? And that's what I was saying earlier. What did happen to the old sheriff?
But the old sheriff is, like, super weird.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which I kind of
love. We don't
know
if they ever existed.
Yeah.
We'll never know. Or maybe we will.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Next up, we have a voicemail from Austin.
Hi there, Meg. Hi, Symphony. Hi, Hal. My name is Austin Nebbia. I'm a Brooklyn-based voice actor. Just wanted to give you guys a line and let you know. I hope I'm not too late to share
Just a couple of things I had about episode 80, New Sheriff in Town. Just made me think about, oh, first of all, actually, it is 2:08 in the morning on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26th. Just thought I'd keep up with the tradition. Yeah, I'm doing this right before I go to bed. Re-listening to this one, it made me think about, obviously, you know, I don't know if Joseph or Jeffrey had an intent to make this character of Sheriff Sam a particularly prescient piece of writing. And I'm just curious if that was what you think there was. Do you think that there was, like, any true-to-life inspiration that directly went into the creation of that character, or do you think it was more sort of indirect based on just kind of, like, the state of the world at the time? I would really love to just kind of get your thoughts on that. Please just know I love the podcast. I almost always am eating when I listen to it, so, yeah, and it's usually somewhere in downtown Manhattan, so... I love going to some great restaurants down there, and listening to you guys talk about your great restaurants, it makes me very happy. And thank you for the work you do and for the art that you make and for the multiple shows that you create. You're all wonderful people and I love having you be a part of my week here in New York. Thanks guys. Bye.
Wow. Austin. Okay. So very much have those same feelings. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the episode about how a lot of these sequences have been, like, sequences of events or, like, how Sheriff Sam has been acting towards Dana Cardinal. Of course, that does feel very much very now, right? But I don't think Joseph and Jeffrey are prescient or any sort of witch. However, they do be doing stuff, writing stuff that is, like, eerily similar. But I think they do write about things that are constantly present, unfortunately, in our society. These things were happening in 2015. We just were not seeing it as often as, or it wasn't talked about in the mainstream as much as it's talked about now, and it wasn't considered an issue. So thanks for voicemailing in, and we appreciate everyone who sends in a voicemail as our lovely producer and co-host Meg listens to the thousands upon thousands that come in. I'm just going to put it out there. When you call in, you know, a few episodes ahead is ideal, and think about what you're going to say to us, and we'll be happy to answer it.
I have an email from Amelia titled, Baby Bear Encounter, but in a good way.
Aww.
And it goes a little something like this. Hello there. I was just listening to your episode on Thanksgiving that came out on 1/28/21. At some point, there was a discussion of baby bears, and that if you see one, you should make a hasty exit. And I thought, oh, I got a story for this.
Yes.
One day, probably in January, when I was in middle school, my mom said something along the lines of, hey, my boss, Larry, has a bear under his house. Do you want to come watch the DNR folks get her out? I, of course, said yes. The following weekend, my mom and I drove up to Deep Creek Lake, the location of the bear and corresponding house she was under. It's a real woodsy area, and Larry's house was in the woods, so not really a strange place for a bear to be. When we arrived, the DNR people have been doing some careful surveillance of the bear and have told the small crowd that the bear is almost certainly a mama hibernating with some cubs. Mm-mm. They had suspected this, and that's why they had asked Larry to see if other people wanted to come. You see, when extracting hibernating bears with cubs, you first tranquilize the mama, and then after sufficient time to make sure she's asleep, you get the cubs out and into the waiting warm jackets of whoever is around. It is only then that the DNR people can safely remove mama without worrying about endangering the babies. Once the DNR people said they were ready to get the cubs out, we all bundled up and went outside. One at a time, the DNR officers pulled out baby bears from under the porch. And there were four little ones in total, affectionately named Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Daisy.
Aww.
Once the babies were all weighed and documented, the DNR people sort of rolled Mama onto a stretcher and pulled her out. They found that she already had been tagged and had a tracking collar, standard procedure for MD at the time and maybe still. We learned that this bear was named Michelle and was and was a frequent porch pirate, so to speak. They had picked her up 3 to 4 times in as many years. The final step of the bear removal process is to transport all five of them to an undisclosed bear release location and to get the babies to not smell like humans. I don't remember the exact method, but it does involve Vicks VapoRub. Yeah. I've attached some pics, one of me and one of the DNR officers doing a baby, doing a bear handoff, and one of Michelle on her stretcher.
Oh, my God.
All in all, it was a very exciting weekend and a story I'll be telling for years to come. Have a great day, Amelia. And then I assume we have, oh, yeah, here are some pictures.
Oh,
let's see, we got, there's a baby, there's the
bear,
on the stretcher.
Oh, my.
Eyes covered.
Look how little it is.
That's a big, but also a little lady on her stretcher. And then there's the baby bear. They're so little, the little tiny baby bears. Hi there. Hi, little baby. You little baby bears. So cute.
Oh, my God. I'm so dying. Cute.
What is this show about anymore? Is it only appreciation of baby bears? Because I'm okay with that. I want you all to take a moment right now as we say goodbye to think of the baby bears in your life and thank them, but also thank the mamas as well who are out there stealing Amazon packages off of porches to provide for their young cubs. That is it for this week. Our next episode is after 3327. Until then, visit our Patreon. You can support us there, patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. There's nothing more to say but good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Bears.
Good Morning Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Hal Lublin, and Meg Bashwinner. It is edited and mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Special thanks to our fans who submitted their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions, or to tell us which Night Vale character has the cleanest bathroom. This show is powered by our patrons like Sarah Sherman, Jennifer Coons, Richard Young, Catherine Myers, and Red L. If you are interested in supporting the show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, hyper cool kid content, or just want to see how many Fanzone Calzone references we can make with our reward tiers, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. Today's adverb is technically. Technically is both an adverb and a noun in this sentence.
They say you shouldn't meet your heroes. I'm Joseph Fink, and I'd like to introduce you to I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, the show where I meet my hero and have conversations about songwriting, art, and life.
This podcast is going to be weird for me because I'm proud of what I do, but I always try to change the subject if people tell me that my stuff is good.
I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats. Find it wherever you listen to podcasts.